be a wonderful reunion one day. All right, Acts chapter 20. If you would just go there. Acts chapter 20. Just a verse that I wanted to share with you this evening. You know, we've been talking a lot about stewardship and on Sundays and how God has given to us certain things. And of course, with stewardship, we recognize, first of all, the ownership. We understand that we don't have anything of ourselves. It's not our body. It's not our possession. It's not our time. It's not our... We own nothing. I think that you got that. I have kind of pounded that into you. You understand that. You probably understood it before. I've been preaching it, but you understand that, okay, it's not ours. But isn't it difficult, though, not to think of everything as ours, what we have as ours? It's difficult because we still look at our own time. We still look at our possessions. We still look at our family. We still look at our, and we kind of claim them, even though we know the truth, that they're not ours. The situations that we have in life, you might say, I'm in a situation, Pastor, where, and actually the situation is God's, but you say, well, it is my situation, and we all know what we're talking about there. And, you know, and I'm not going to, you know, if you mention something after the service tonight and you say, you know, I have a situation, I'm not going to like, stop, that's not your situation, it's God's. You know, that's not the point, is that, you know, as we've gone through stewardship, that you can't even refer to it as, you know, my time or my energies or my things. You know, we're not going to blow the whistle and say, you said my. I mean, humanly speaking, you know, it's what God has given us to be a manager of, as long as we understand. Have you ever gone into a store and you know very well that the worker was not the owner and they were not claiming to be the worker, but maybe you were in a shoe store and that worker there just say, I don't have anything like that here in my store. Now, are they claiming to be the owner of the store? No. They're just trying to say, here in my position, which I don't have anything here for you. That's why we don't call the whistle and you know blow the whistle and say, hey, wait a second, you said the word mine. Nothing is yours. That is not the point. So with stewardship, we understand that it's all God's. But yet we're managers of certain things, and we still have our hands on a lot of things. You know, the Bible talks about giving things to the Lord, right? Technically, we have nothing to give the Lord because it's all His. But very practically, do we need to give our situations and our possessions and time and everything, do we need to give them over to the Lord? What's the answer? Yes, we do. So I went all through that to say, we understand together that even though we understand stewardship and God's the owner, we can still safely say, I need to give this over to the Lord. I've got it in my hand, but I need to hand it back over to Him. Yes, it's His possession, but sometimes we wrap around our hands over the things in life. And it could be what? What are some of the things that we hold on to? We hold on to our possessions and things. We hold on to our situations that we're in. And boy, it's hard to give our situations over. We have our troubles and struggles that we go through. We have our families and all of these things, although they're not ours. Tonight, just for tonight, I'm not saying that they're ours, but we look at kind of our situations that we have in life. Look at Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. Now, Paul is speaking and kind of giving his charge to the church in Ephesus. He is speaking to these people, the leadership. He's talking to them, and he's on his way to Jerusalem. He knows what God has for him. The end of his life is, in his mind near. He knows that he's given himself over, and he just knows that that's what God has for him. And so he's getting ready, and he's kind of giving his farewell statement to these people. He tells them about what he's taught them. He charges them to continue on. He gives them encouragement. He says, I've done my best to give you this and to give you this and to give you this. Now, did Paul understand that this ministry, these people, and all these things weren't his? I think he did. I think Paul understood that they were not his possessions. But in the end here, we find Paul in a little bit of a battle. I say a battle, and I don't know how much he was torn, but he knows what he ought to do, but he knows he had people there. There were other times when he said he was in a strait betwixt, that he really wanted to go be with God in heaven, and yet he knew that people needed him, and yet he would sure rather go to be with God in heaven, and yet his conclusion was, but I really believe that God wants me here. He's got me here. All through life, in at least Paul's ministry, he was in some sort of a dilemma, because he would love to be with God, but he had ministry there. And he had, in a sense, for tonight, he had people. He had his ministries. And Paul was coming to the point to where he was going to leave. And when he left, it was going to be a dilemma in and of itself, because now he wasn't going to be technically their leader. He wouldn't be there to write all these letters to them and to help them with this and to go and confront the situation. It was kind of like he had to let go with his hands. Even though they were God's, he kind of felt that he had these people, and he was kind of like that spiritual parent to them. Now, before we read the verse, are there things in your life that are very difficult for you to give over? There is for me. There's certain things that I want to be able to have in my possession. I want to be able to manage it because I think that I know well how to do it, or I can't let it out. And honestly, it's kind of silly because, again, in reality, whose possessions are they? God's. And who knows best how to take care of God's possessions? God. Okay. But again, they in life, they become ours. In a sense, they don't, but in our minds, they do. And we have a very difficult time giving them over. Some of you at one point in time had to give over your children as they got married and they went out. You knew that you couldn't be that same parent that you were yesterday to them. And there was a time when you had to give them over to God. God, they are yours, and I cannot be that same parent. And then along came grandchildren, and you looked at those children, and as much as they're my grandchildren, you understood that as much as you wanted to claim those grandchildren, you knew that you had to give them over, because you're not there every day in their home telling them what they can do and what they can't do and teaching them and training them. It's not yours, and you have to get to the point to where you hand it over to God. And then there are things at work that you wish you could handle yourself, and that you wish you could tell everybody what they need to know and what to do and how to do it, and they would follow and obey, and you would love to be able to do it, but it's honestly, you can't do it. And in a sense, it's out of your hands, and as much as you want it in your hands, it's not. You have to mentally give it over. Now, I've given you just a couple examples, but aren't there situations all in life that we try our best to hold on to and help out and work it and do this and we figure it out? Maybe it's finances, maybe it's this. And at a certain point in time, what has to happen? Got to give them over. Question, is it easy to give it over? Is it easy to open up hands? If you're like me, I would say no. It is difficult. It is difficult to open up my hands and say, God, it's yours. I can't do anything more. It wouldn't be right for me to do anything more. This is your situation. You are going to have to do the work. that's where Paul is. Paul is saying goodbye, and he recognizes he cannot anymore do anything about it. Look down at verse 32 of Acts chapter 20. And Paul makes a statement now. He says, "And now, brethren," it's almost like he said a lot of things, and now, brethren. It's this heart-wrenching time. It was very difficult for him. "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able." There's the word we just sang, he is able. Do we believe that song? I hope so. "Which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are satisfied." Question, is God able through himself, his person, and through his word, is God able to do anything in anybody's life? Is he? He is. Do we believe the song that we just sang? He is able, he is able, I know he is able. Is God able to do it? Let me make it harder. Is God able, parents that are in here, is God able to take your children that may be even wayward? Is God able to take those children and to do something with them and bring them back the way maybe you would like and God would like? Is God able to do it? What do you think? He is able. We don't always see it, do we? Sometimes we look at the situation, we say, there's no hope. You know, that's what the song was saying. He is able. That means there is hope. In God, there is always hope. Question, is there hope for America? There is. It's not in America. It's in the God of hope. And so, is God able to do things with America that he would choose to do? Is God able? He is able. He is able. It's so difficult when you give somebody over. And again, going back to that parent, it was difficult for you to give them over because I'm not going to be able to tell, you know, Johnny to clean his room anymore. I'm not going to be there to make sure he brushes his teeth and he combs his hair. I'm not going to be able to guide him the way that I was when he was in my home in his bedroom. I'm not able to do that. But guess what? He is able. But that's hard to do. That's hard to understand. That's hard to think through that God is able to do it. And it's hard to give over. Now, Paul is here. And I can imagine Paul was in and out with this church at Ephesus. Paul had helped them. Paul had wrote to them. Paul had blessed them. Paul was a spiritual father there. And now he's saying, I got to go. And although Paul knew that this situation, these people were God's, here he says, God, I commend them to you. I commend them to God. He says, God, although I've always known they're yours, God, they are yours. I give them to you and to the word that you will do in their hearts and lives what you know is best. Is God able to do that with the Ephesians? Isn't it amazing how we make heroes out of ourselves that we need to be there to do certain things? And if I'm not there, all hope is lost. Do you see the problem in the air with that thinking? If I'm not there to lead this group, then they're just going to make a mess of things. And so I got to get my hands in it. But Paul recognizes something. I can be 100% assured that I can take my hands off. And God will take care. Sometimes we're in situations that are tough. And we cannot take care of the situation. We try with all our might. We must let them into the hands with the one who is able. I don't know when Rick picked that song. But he didn't know what I was going to share today. Because when I got up this morning, I didn't know what I was going to share today. He didn't pick He is Able for nothing tonight, but God did. Because when situations are, they get to a point where they got to be out of our hands, we must trust that God is able. And honestly, what we've got to come to the point to is going like this: God, I commend. You see, the word commend is to commit to one's charge, to entrust. I very simply trust you, God. You must take care of the situation. I cannot do any more. I cannot do it now. The situation's got to be turned over. Not that it was ever ours, but God, this is yours. What situations do you have in life that you say, you know what, you try, you work hard, but you know that you can't, you have tried and tried and tried for all these years and you can't do it. You know, I think sometimes God wants us to get to the point where we realize we can't do it. I wonder if many times God wants us to say, God, I can't do it, you're going to need to do it. Now, again, there's responsibility that God wants us to manage, and we need to do what we can when he gives us the power and opportunity to do it. But sometimes the power goes out from under our hands, and we're going to have to, like Paul, say, God, you're going to have to do this. God, it's yours. And I trust your power. I trust your ability. I trust your word. I trust your promises. I trust everything. And now the situation is yours. Hands off, and I step back and let God do his work. It's to let the situation go. And we need to understand that he does it with the very best for us. The very best. God takes care of the situation. In the very best. God never makes a mistake. What do we know? What do we know? The Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Is God able? Is he going to do it? He's going to. But we have to do what? We've got to commend our situations. We've got to commend our circumstances. We've got to commend our this and our that, our parenting, our grandparenting, our work situation, our home situation, our financial situations, our health situations, over to the Lord and say, God, I can't do it. It's yours. You are going to have to show up. And I ask again, is he able? Is he? Faith Bible Church, is God able? Yes. To do exceeding, abundantly, above. You realize that what you thought that you had the ability to do, he has the ability to do way, way more and way better than what you could ever do. But we've got to trust him. I don't know what you're going through tonight. I have no idea. But I can tell you this. God wants you to commend it to him. God wants you to commend it to him. Hand it over. Does it mean that you become just a lifeless person that just sits there and does nothing? No, God wants us to do what we're supposed to do. But we're understanding, God, this is yours. This is your situation. You're going to have to do the work. We cannot do it on our own. We cannot do it. It is God's. It is God's. So tonight I want to encourage you to commit your situations, your people, your decisions, your finances, your health, everything in your life. Commit them to the Lord like Paul did. And Paul's hands were off. He had to go. Did God take care of those Ephesians? He did. Is he still taking care of his people? He is. He is. A lot of people are saying, what if this happens? What if the vote goes this way? I'm not talking about our vote tonight. I'm talking about like in November. What if this happens? I'm going to tell you something. I know one who is able to take care of it. Do you see how this helps us? It honestly helps you folks. It helps. And I'll tell you what, that's a testimony in our world today. Listen to this. People need to see that you have a hope. And you're not going to get rattled over whatever comes your way, whether it's a virus or somebody getting voted into office or whatever. A Christian need not get rattled because we have a, an overwhelming confidence in the God who is able. I hope that that will be an encouragement to you this evening. All right, let's take out our prayer sheets.